Welcome to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host on BBS Radio and www.holistichealthshow.com. My first guest tonight is Dr. Mark Hyman, an internationally known physician who practices functional and integrative medicine. He is a three-time New York Times bestseller and one book, Ultra Metabolism, The Simple Plan for Automatic Weight Loss, was published in more than 20 languages, and in addition to the New York Times bestseller list, was on the bestseller list of the Wall Street Journal and USA Today, and was number one on Amazon.com in health. He has nearly 1 million copies of his books in print, and has been interviewed on numerous radio and television programs, including NBC's Today Show and Weekend Today, ABC's Good Morning America Weekend, CBS's The Early Show, ABC's The View with Barbara Walters, as well as CNN, Fox, PBS, and NPR. In addition to multiple books, he is well published in magazines and journals. Dr. Hyman is founder and medical director of the Ultra Wellness Center in Lenox, Massachusetts, editor-in-chief of Alternative Therapies in Health and Medicine, medical editor of Natural Solutions, and on the editorial boards of Body and Soul, and on Integrative Medicine, a clinical journal. He has conducted research at Harvard University and held faculty appointments at Harvard, Yale, and Columbia. Additional information on his extensive activities can be found at www.ultrawellnesscenter.com and www.ultrawellness.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Mark, and I look forward to hearing about your new book. Now, in your new book, The UltraMind Solution, you depart radically from traditional treatment therapies by showing that the cures for brain disorders start in other parts of the body and that by healing our bodies, we can heal the brain. Does this mean that it's possible to cure lifelong depression, autism, dementia, bipolar disease, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and psychosis, and free ourselves from less severe conditions such as brain fog, memory loss, anxiety, and chronic stress without drugs?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we really have been using the wrong map to find our way through the maze of mental illness and brain problems like dementia and autism and ADD. What I provided is a new map to find our way through the maze, a map based on emerging science we call systems medicine or functional medicine. And this is extraordinary in its ability to kind of understand the fundamental causes of disease rather than simply treating symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you know, depression is really just the name we give to a collection of symptoms. If someone's sad or hopeless or helpless, has poor appetite, can't sleep at night, and has no sex drive, we say they have depression.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the name we give to those collection of symptoms. It doesn't tell us a thing about the real cause of those symptoms. So we must look at the fundamental underlying causes, and that's, thankfully, what the new science of functional medicine and systems biology helps us do. It helps us look at the fundamental core systems in the body that explain all the chronic diseases we have, not just mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And by using that map, we recognize there are only about 7 core systems in the body that become out of balance. And when you correct imbalances in those systems, whether it's your detoxification system or your immune system or your digestive system, the brain heals. And those conditions which seem lifelong or chronic, whether it's depression or autism or ADD or even dementia, can be reversed and often cured. So I think the power of this model is accessible to everybody right now, and that's really why I wrote the book, The UltraMind Solution. And people
mm-hmm.
can actually get a sneak preview of the book at ultramind.com.
Mm-hmm.
But the key here is that this book lays out in a step-by-step practical guide a way to improve your brain function and reverse or avert these problems.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very simple. And I'd be happy to talk more about it, but it's really a roadmap for you to get back to health and well-being.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying in the book is that the symptoms and diseases we think are brain problems are simply imbalances in the body that show
That's
up
right.
in the brain. Can you tell us about this?
Sure. We know, for example, that a long-standing view in medicine has been that people have emotional and psychological problems that causes irritable bowel syndrome. In fact, the opposite may be the truth, which is that an irritable bowel can cause an irritable brain and make you emotional, up and down swings, and irritable because inflammation in your digestive tract causes inflammation in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that we're just learning about, but it's extraordinary. We're learning that, a food allergy like gluten can actually trigger everything from ADD to autism to depression and even dementia in some cases. For example, autoimmune inflammatory bowel disease related to gluten or people with celiac disease have more dementia because inflammation in the gut causes inflammation in the brain.
Oh.
We know that toxins in the body cause damage to the brain like mercury. We know that nutritional deficiencies throughout the body will have enormous impact on brain function. Omega-3 fat deficiencies, folic acid, B12, and so forth. And these things are easy to fix.
What foods are bad for the brain health?
Well, we have a tremendous understanding of what insults the brain and what helps the brain. So I go through very clearly in the Ultramind Solution, my book, how to actually get rid of the things that are insulting your brain and put in the things that help your brain function optimally. The things that insult your brain are a processed food diet, trans fats, processed fats, high fructose corn syrup, you know, food additives, pesticides, chemicals in our food, heavy metals in our food. Those are all things which damage our brain, as well as certain food sensitivities. And these are something most people don't recognize or aren't aware of because they're delayed. It's not like you eat a peanut and you get hives. It's something you may eat a piece of bread on Monday and get brain fog or depression on Wednesday. So you don't make a connection between the food you're eating and the effects it can have on you. That's why I recommend that everybody for the six-week program in the Ultramind Solution get off of gluten and dairy as an experiment to see how much it affects them and how much better they can feel getting off of it. So those are the things you avoid to stop insulting your brain. And then to help your brain function better, you need to feed your brain right. And the way you do that is by becoming a fathead number one, which is using omega-3 fats to build healthy brain cells from wild salmon and sardines and flaxseeds and walnuts. It's eating protein for brain power because protein contains amino acids that are the building blocks of all the mood chemicals called neurotransmitters. And if you don't put protein in, particularly in the morning, you're going to be fatigued and sluggish and unfocused and depressed. So you can deprive somebody, for example, of tryptophan in their diet, and within hours they'll become depressed because you need tryptophan to make serotonin. You need to actually eat the right carbs. Carbs are actually very good for you. These are the fruits and vegetables, beans, nuts, seeds, and whole grains that contain all the healthy fiber, vitamins, and minerals that our bodies need, and the slow-release carbohydrates that help keep our blood sugar even, because a high blood sugar will destroy your memory, will make you demented, and also lead to depression. So we need to really focus on balancing our blood sugar. And lastly, we need to put in the phytochemicals. These are hidden brain protectors that come from plant foods that help detoxify you and reduce inflammation, or powerful antioxidants that can help the body heal. So that's how you feed your brain right.
Mark, what is your thinking about focusing on the acid-alkaline balance in the body?
Our bodies are always working toward a state of balance. We have pH balance, we have magnesium-calcium balance, calcium-phosphorus balance, sodium-potassium balance. Everything is finely balanced in our body, including our pH. And so our bodies tend to run at a little bit of an alkaline pH, and we typically in the Western world live a very acidic life because eating animal protein, drinking coffee, alcohol, sugar, processed foods all produce a higher level of acidity in the body, and eating a plant-based diet is the solution for that.
But that's hard to get people to do, isn't it?
No.
Oh, it's not?
No. People love good food. I mean, you know, after a while, when you actually, food's a drug, right?
Right.
So if you're taking drugs that are addictive, like sugar and processed foods, trans fats, they actually literally make your brain addicted to these foods. It's very sad and very scary from a medical point of view. We know that sugar is, for example, more addictive than cocaine. So once you get off of some of these things for a short period of time, your body starts craving things that are good for it. You know, I remember the movie Super Size Me, and at the beginning of the movie, when he started eating the supersized McDonald's meals, he actually threw up because they made him violently ill, physically. And towards the end of the movie, he became addicted to those foods, and they made him feel well when he ate them, but only for a short period of time. And the rest of the time, he felt ill. So it's a very scary. And, you know, we have to recognize that, that when people have the chance to feel better, they'll often choose that. Not everybody, not all the time, but they will.
Good. In your book, you call the gut the body's second brain. And how does digestion play such a big role in brain health?
Yeah, well, the gut is the body's second brain, and it's a very powerful organ or system in your body. It's really connected to everything else because you've got your whole nervous system in there. Besides your brain nervous system called your gut brain, you have your immune system, 60% of which lives in your digestive tract, and you have a whole host of hormones and other molecules that are produced in there that regulate your appetite and many other things. So it's a very busy place, and that has to be healthy for you to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen over and over in people who have digestive disorders, whether it's just bloating after meals or whether it's problems with irritable bowel syndrome or reflux, taking medications, when they get these problems fixed, and they can be fixed with the approach I outline in the Ultramind Solution, not through conventional approaches and drugs like acid-suppressing medications or anti-spasm drugs that are given for irritable bowel, but really dealing with the cause,
mm-hmm.
which is often food allergies and overgrowth of bacteria and yeast and inadequate digestion. When you do that, miracles happen. I see people who have autism get better. I see people who have depression resolve after many years. I see people with ADD, kids with ADD, completely improve in their stories.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, a lot of these stories and testimonials are actually on my website, ultramind.com, and you can listen to the patients themselves or the stories that are told by the parents of some of the children, which are quite compelling, and share some of the potential of this approach to help people heal.
Mm-hmm. How common is heavy metal poisoning, and how can we detox from that?
Well, unfortunately, it's very common. And also, unfortunately, it's something that most practitioners don't look for and don't know how to look for.
Mm-hmm.
You do a blood test for mercury or lead, unless it's really high or unless you're exposed immediately in the immediate past to this, for example, if you ate sushi for dinner last night, or you're not going to see a high level. And yet, when I do testing on people and challenge them and actually collect the urine to see how much comes out that's been stored in their tissues,
mm-hmm.
we see extraordinarily high levels. And I see this as a major factor in chronic disease. People who are generally well may not have too much, but a lot of us have a heavy metal burden
mm-hmm.
that we have to deal with. And I explain how to do that in the Ultramind Solution, how to generally boost your detox system, how to reduce your exposure to toxins, and how to help your body get rid of heavy metals.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that you used a lot of natural things like broccoli, and I'm wondering what you think about some of the herbs such as Essiac tea or some of the minerals such as zeolite as a detox.
Well, I think that herbs and minerals are very helpful in detoxification. You need zinc to help release mercury from the cells and selenium to boost glutathione. And so the herbs are also critical for detoxification, and plant compounds have powerful detox capacities. Even just foods like broccoli or kale or collards, green tea, pomegranate, cilantro, artichokes, all these are powerful detoxifying foods that you can include in your diet. And often use supplemental herbs like milk thistle,
mm-hmm.
which can help, and other supplements that boost detoxification. So there are all sorts of ways to use those compounds to help us, and they're actually essential.
Mm-hmm. Mark, are there other imbalances in the body that influence the mind?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the immune system is one of the biggest problems. In fact, we're learning now that if you have a depressed brain or an autistic brain or a demented brain, it's an inflamed brain. Just like a swollen gland, you can have a swollen brain that can lead to all these dysfunctions. And
mm-hmm.
then the question becomes, what is the cause of the inflammation? And it's very simple. It's usually either toxins, infections, or allergens, poor diet, or stress. And
mm-hmm.
there are only five causes of all disease. And if you just focus on those, toxins, allergens, poor diet, stress, and infections, and you get rid of them, your body can heal in quite remarkable ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I really encourage people to look at those things. And the most obvious ones are gluten and dairy,
mm-hmm.
which you can get rid of and do an experiment to see if that helps reduce inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
Getting rid of processed junk food, eating whole foods, cleansing your body with making sure you're having adequate bowel movements and drinking plenty of fluids, and sweating, which helps your body detox,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes doing more extensive detox when necessary. It's fixing the immune system, which is in the gut. And so all these things play a huge role in regulating inflammation. And in the book, I explain clearly how to go step by step through one, finding out if you have inflammation and then treating it. It's actually quite simple. Just following the basic Ultramind Solution 6-week plan, you can achieve most of this, and then there's some customization based on whether or not you have particular issues. And in the book, I've provided specific questionnaires and quizzes that help people identify where they have an imbalance. Is it an imbalance in the immune system? Is it in their gut? Is it in their detoxification system? Do they have a nutritional deficiency? And so on. And it really is very, very, very helpful.
Sounds very comprehensive, and also it sounds like a first as far as some of these assessment tools.
Absolutely.
I'm not aware of any tools that have been that comprehensive before. I'm very much into holistic health, as you know, and I started when I had lung cancer 32 years ago and was given 6 months to live. And I refused the traditional because I figured, well, if I'm not going to live more than 6 months, why would I put myself through this? So I used all the alternatives. But one of the things that I used, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are about this and if you incorporate this, and that's the mental and spiritual aspects.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the seven keys to an Ultramind, is the psychological, emotional, and spiritual aspects of healing. And you know, we have talked extensively over the last 30 years about the mind-body effect,
mm-hmm.
and the mind-body interaction, and I don't think we should minimize that in any way.
Mm-hmm.
It makes an enormous component of healing, and yet, at the same time, most of the other six keys have been ignored. So you have to work with all the aspects. I would say if you're mercury poisoned or you have B12 deficiency, you're eating a food that is making you sick,
mm-hmm.
it's very hard to become enlightened or pray or meditate or talk through your psychological problems while those imbalances are going on in your body. It's like you're trying to run a marathon with someone standing on your foot.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably do it, but it's very difficult.
Right. Now, if people suspect they have a problem, what should they do first? And is there a test? I think you mentioned that you have all kinds of assessment tools for the various conditions.
I have plenty of assessment tools. And I think the most effective assessment is really just through listening to somebody's story. And so in my book, I have very extensive questionnaires, literally hundreds of questions that help people identify where the imbalances are for them.
Mm-hmm.
And once they've done that, then they can have really dramatic benefit.
Mm-hmm.
They just can simply go through and assess what the problems are, where they are. And then if there's testing that's needed, I go into great detail about that as well, and I explain how to find the testing through my book as well.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us a little bit about the 6-week brain boosting process to cleanse, heal, and strengthen the brain?
Absolutely. It's a 4-step plan. The first step I've talked about a little bit, which is eating right for your brain. That's eating your brain right. That's becoming a fathead, eating protein for brain power, eating the right carbs that help balance your blood sugar, and eating the phytonutrients in your diet, the plant-based, colorful antioxidant and detoxifying and anti-inflammatory compounds in plant foods. Then, and that, of course, also involves stopping insulting your brain and eating real food and whole food as opposed to processed food and getting off of gluten and dairy. And that's the food plan. The second part is tuning up your brain chemistry with supplements. That involves using the raw materials that your brain needs to function optimally. And you can't run your engine without oil. You can't run your brain without nutrients. And that includes omega-3 fats. It includes a multivitamin. It includes fish oil, which includes, vitamin D, as well as special B vitamins like B6, folate, and B6 that help the body function, the brain help it work better, as well as calcium, magnesium, and probiotics, healthy bacteria to keep the gut healthy. And I've seen people have remarkable results. I mean, I've seen a woman who lives in the Northeast, and it's cold and dark, and she becomes depressed every winter, and we give her vitamin D, and it relieves her depression. I've seen people who hate fish and give them fish oil, and they get better. I've seen people who with severe depression. I've seen people who have lifelong problems, whether it's autism or depression, who, when you give them folate and B12 and B6 at the right levels, they literally wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are very important as part of tuning up your brain chemistry. The third part of the Ultramind Solution 6-week plan is the Ultramind lifestyle, and that involves 4 components. The first component is exercise, and it's not a lot. It's just 30 minutes of walking every day, because exercise is like Miracle-Gro for your brain. It makes form new brain cells and actually helps the connections between the ones you have work better.
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with stress, what I call finding the pause button, helping your body relax deeply every day, whether it's a yoga class, a massage, a hot bath, and I go through exactly how to do that, or just mm-hmm. using your breath, which is available to you every day, all the time. And then also as part of the Ultramind lifestyle, I recommend sleep. Most of us don't get adequate sleep, and sleep is one of the most important ingredients for good health. And fourth, I recommend training your brain, using exercises for your brain, things like learning a language or crossword puzzles or Scrabble, all of which help boost your brain power and connection.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, the fourth step to an Ultramind solution is living clean and green. That means avoiding toxins as much as possible. And everything you do on a personal level has an impact on a planetary level. And that is filtering your water, choosing organic food, avoiding heavy metal-containing foods like swordfish and tuna, and having an ability to somehow reduce the exposure to electromagnetic radiation and pollution, what we call electropollution, because that comes from, you know, everybody who's had a cell phone to their ear for too long has noticed their brain becomes hot, their ear becomes hot. You have to wonder what that does. Is that frying your brain? And the answer is yes, and it does have impact on us, particularly on children. So we want to keep things at a distance from us, like radio alarm clocks at night, and keep the cell phone on speaker when we can, and not stay on it as our majority of our phone service.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the four steps to an Ultramind solution. And then based on how you do in the quizzes and the questionnaires in each of the seven keys, then you can move on to the self-care plan, which talks about how you enhance detoxification if you're too toxic, or how you cool off inflammation if you're too inflamed, or how you fix your digestion if your digestion isn't doing well, and gives very specific things to do that.
I think that's wonderful that you have all of this, you know, in one book that people can refer to off and on. And as you've been talking, I've been thinking, I've been doing a lot of those things throughout my lifetime because of my public health background, and because of I know what's happened with the food supply, and I know what's happened with the air and the water and all of these things. But I've never seen any of these things put together in one volume, and I can attest to it working, because I mentioned that I had lung cancer 32 years ago, but I'm almost 77 years old, and I have no chronic illnesses and no prescribed medications. So I think that there is a lot of value to what you're telling us about.
That's fantastic. That's great. I you know, we see this in results. That's the point, is that you actually see results.
And I'm sure you know Bernie Siegel.
Of course.
And Bernie tells me he's one of those people over age 65. I think it's, what, 11% of the population over 65 are on no prescribed medications, and he tells me he's one of those also. So
exactly. Well, he's the one. He's got a wonderful spirit.
Yeah, he certainly does. So, are there other things that you would like to add about your new book, Mark?
Well, I think really what I think is most important to recognize is that for the first time, we're able to connect all the dots.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you know, we have a lot of alternative therapies, and I just want to make the distinction between alternative medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember in 1979, I first came across a book called The Holistic Health Handbook, which was the first sort of primer of mm-hmm. alternative medicine, holistic health. And then we started recognizing the value of alternative therapies like acupuncture and Ayurveda and homeopathy and herbs and so forth. And those started being widely used by the population. And then there became an awareness that we should actually begin to incorporate those into conventional practice, and there's been a movement towards what we call integrative medicine, which is integrating the best of conventional
mm-hmm.
and alternative medicine,
mm-hmm.
which was certainly an improvement over what we were doing. However, there's another thing that's happening, which is moving beyond simply applying alternative therapies to Western diagnoses. We're changing the nature of diagnosis itself. We're changing our model of thinking from disease-based diagnosis, so you don't want to just treat, let's say, depression with St. John's wort
mm-hmm.
as an herbal or natural therapy, because if you do that, it will fail.
Right.
I guarantee you'll fail, because it's not asking the right question, which is what is causing the depression in the first place. It's that St. John's wort could help in some cases, but it's a matter of understanding really the origins of disease
mm-hmm.
and finding the right treatment for the person. And no one has really kind of done this around the brain in the mind yet in a book for consumers. I think a lot of practitioners are using this approach,
mm-hmm.
but it needs to be more widespread, and I want people to understand it, and I wanted to introduce it into the general sort of conversation that's happening out there, because we have to move beyond integrative medicine. It's really applying all the tools of medicine, whether they're alternative or conventional, in the right way based on the cause of the disease, not on the symptoms.
Mm-hmm. I think some of the problem, too, Mark, has been that we've had too many specialists and not enough generalists, so that the specialists know a very small area, and illnesses are not, they overlap, as I say, when we moved into holistic health and alternative, you know, medicine and now the integrative. I think that we're seeing that you need a broader base for looking at health problems or diseases, and that maybe specialization has its place, but there's also an equally important place for generalists.
That's right. I mean, we have to be super generalists.
Right.
That's right. We'll say, well, do you treat this, do you treat that, do you treat this disease? Said, you know what? The name of the disease doesn't really matter. I treat the underlying seven systems in the body, and
mm-hmm.
every disease can get better based on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it doesn't really matter what we call the disease. It's really just almost irrelevant at this point.
Right, right. Mark, can you tell us then about your books and products and services and how the listeners can locate these?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, they can go to my website, ultramind.com, and learn more about the book. They can go to ultrawellness.com and read my hundreds of blogs and see the video blogs and download them on their iPod and hear me talk about many different conditions and problems and issues in nutrition and so forth, and there's a whole library of that information. And they can also go to see any of myself or my other practitioners in my office in Lenox, Massachusetts at the Ultra Wellness Center,
mm-hmm.
and that's at ultrawellnesscenter.com. People can find us and talk to us and come see us if they have chronic issues or problems that don't get better with just simply following the guidelines I've laid out in the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate your taking time from your busy schedule, Mark. I know you're flying out today and that you're not home right now. And it's been very informative, and I appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much. I've been happy to be on your show.
My second guest tonight is Dr. Lise Altschuler, a naturopathic physician with board certification in naturopathic oncology. She uses natural, scientifically tested therapies in the fight against cancer. She is currently the president of the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians and the co-author of The Definitive Guide to Cancer, an Integrative Approach to Prevention, Treatment, and Healing. She has written numerous articles and book chapters and was selected as one of Seattle, Washington's top physicians in 2000 by Seattle Magazine. She was a founding board member of the Oncological Association of Naturopathic Physicians, formerly associate professor at Baxter University and currently in private practice in Arizona. More information can be found at www.drlise.net. I welcome you, Lise, to the Holistic Health Show. Tell me why you chose this field of medicine.
Well, thank you for having me on your show. And, you know, I was headed towards conventional medical school, and fortunately, as I learned more about what conventional medicine really has become in this country, it was something that just wasn't quite a good fit for me. I think that conventional medicine, from my experience, very good at treating diseased bodies, but I was very much more interested in learning how to help people restore a whole person's sense of well-being and health. So I decided not to pursue conventional medical school further, and it took me a little while, but I found naturopathic medical school, and when I read the catalog of the naturopathic school that I went to, Baxter University, I was immediately knew that I had found what I wanted. And really, for me, what naturopathic medicine is a science-based approach to holistic health.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a way that we can understand health, healing, wellness, disease management, using the principles of science to really help people find a way to stimulate their own inherent or innate abilities to bring themselves to better health.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't looked back. I enjoy the profession greatly and feel that it's a wonderful adjunct to the many ways of healing that we have available to us.
Mm-hmm.
Lise, you have many years of experience with cancer patients, and you also have a new book titled Definitive Guide to Cancer, An Intuitive Approach to Prevention, Treatment, and Healing. Why did you write this book?
This book, The Definitive Guide to Cancer, An Integrative Approach to Prevention, Treatment, and Healing, is written by myself and my co-author, Carolyn Gazella. And both of us, through our own personal experiences with cancer, Carolyn herself is a cancer survivor, thriver, as she says, and she has many people in her family with cancer because her family has what's called the breast cancer gene. So they, unfortunately, are very prone to developing cancers. And then myself, my father had pancreatic cancer, was diagnosed shortly before she and I decided to write this book. As a naturopathic physician, the last 5 years, I've really worked almost exclusively in the area of cancer. And so both of us had a strong desire coming into this to really put a book out there that was scientifically based and very open and open and instructive to people who wanted what we call a both-and approach, as opposed to an either-or approach. So
mm-hmm.
we really wanted to give people something that they could go to as a resource when they wanted to use conventional care, either at some point in their illness or throughout their illness of cancer, and they also wanted to use natural therapies, and they wanted to know how to use those things together in a way that was safe and effective. And there really was not, to our knowledge, a book that was in depth and was sort of credible in this way. So this book is quite thick. It's
mm-hmm.
probably about 2 inches thick because it has a lot of information in it. And, you know, it could be read cover to cover. It could also be used to just for people to go into their cancer type or specific chemotherapy, whatever it is that they want to look at. But we really wanted to have all of this in one book. And you know, we have an advisory board that we put together of very well-respected people in
mm-hmm.
both the conventional field and the integrative field so that we could make sure that what we were saying was in fact true and recognized as true by other experts.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel like we've tried to put together a good resource for people.
Mm-hmm.
Lise, there are many cancer books on the market, as you know, and what makes yours different?
Well, I think there's two ways that I would say our book is different. One is that the Definitive Guide to Cancer, and this is the second edition, which is quite different, I might add, than the first edition, and that difference is in one way, one of the ways in which this book is very unique, which is that there really is no other book, to my knowledge, that goes into this much detail on how to utilize and understand what cancer is and how to utilize the natural therapies that are out there in a way that's very safe and effective, and in the context of receiving either chemotherapy, radiation, hormonal therapy, surgical interventions, because most people with cancer use conventional care.
Right.
And, interestingly, most people, and we're talking 80%
mm-hmm.
or more of people with cancer, also use complementary care, but they really don't have guidance on how to do that together.
Mm-hmm.
So this book is unique in that it really addresses those individuals. And I think the other thing that we did to try to make this unique is that we added throughout the book personal stories so that there are people that have had cancer of various types that tell their stories of integrative care to lend sort of a personal aspect to the book, but to remind the reader that there are others out there just like them
mm-hmm.
and to kind of give a sense of belonging to the reader. And I guess I would add one other thing, which is that we spent quite a bit of time developing what we call a rating system. And one of the things that we wanted to be very careful about is to not let our own personal biases about certain products to overshadow the information in the book. So we came up with a rating system that combined the available published evidence about a particular
mm-hmm.
natural therapy and also any known concerns about the safety of a particular therapy. And we put that information together and gave a grade, basically, to many, many, many dozens and dozens and dozens of natural supplements
mm-hmm.
for specific cancer types. So really tried to give people some guidance about when they were being recommended to take something, they could maybe use this as a resource to determine if, in fact, it was a good idea.
Right. And you're right about people using traditional and then wanting alternative. I get 3 or 4 emails a month from people who are on traditional treatment for cancer, but they want to add some alternative things. And I'm a 32-year cancer survivor, and my doctor gave me 6 months to live 32 years ago. And consequently, I went the other way. I went strictly alternative.
Congratulations, by
Thank
the way.
You.
That's a wonderful story that you have. And I think that what you your story is also very common in there. The information in this book could be used as well for people who, for whatever reason, are not really candidates, either because
mm-hmm.
of their own choice or because of
mm-hmm.
their doctor's advice for conventional therapy, because there's still a lot of information in here
right.
that can help guide people to make the right choices towards
mm-hmm.
natural therapies. And I think that what you described happens a lot as well, and
mm-hmm.
it's important that people recognize that, you know, until they're ready to pass on, that there's lots of options available, and that,
right.
that hope doesn't end when conventional therapy ends.
Right. At least on my first show on BBS, I discussed traditional, alternative, and complementary health treatments. And in your book title, you mention integrative approaches. Is this the same as complementary health? And if so, are these terms used interchangeably, or is one preferred over the other?
Well, they could be considered integrative and complementary, could be considered sort of synonymous, but I prefer the term integrative, because when somebody calls a therapy complementary, that's automatically assuming that that therapy is secondary and perhaps in terms
yeah,
of importance,
uh-huh.
right, to the conventional standard
uh-huh.
therapy.
Uh-huh.
So integrative kind of puts everything on the same level playing field.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in my world, that's sort of for me that my dream for the future of healthcare, that healthcare is integrative healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And that what that means is when somebody enters into the healthcare system with a disease such as cancer, that they have before them a palette of choices about the therapies that can be used and that are recommended to them. And really the only choice, the biggest sort of filter through which those therapies are put is, will this therapy help this person?
Mm-hmm.
And whatever helps is offered. And so that's kind of really the idea behind integrative.
Yeah. I like your rationale for integrative. That makes a lot of sense to me. Because then, as you say, it puts everyone on an equal par, and it doesn't make the physician in charge of a team that is working to provide health care to the client.
Mm-hmm.
I have known many people who have been diagnosed with cancer and told there's nothing that can be done for them. So what would you advocate to clients that are in the situation where they've been told by their physician that they have 6 months to live and that nothing can be done?
Well, I think I personally really don't like it when that when physicians say that to people, because
right.
there's been some studies that have shown that something in the person who hears that complies with what they've heard, and that people tend to do just that, die 6 months later.
Right.
And so I think it's unfortunate that people are given that message.
Right.
However, it does happen. And I think, you know, in defense of the physicians that are saying that, I think many times what they're really trying to do is to give some realistic parameters to the gravity of the disease that the person has. Sometimes people need to hear something like that so that they can
mm-hmm.
really pay attention to what they need to before they pass on. But having said that, I also think that as long as somebody is wanting to stay alive and wanting to continue their life in this way, that there are always other options out there for them to consider. And there are, even within the field of conventional therapy, there are new conventional therapies that are being developed, and certainly within the area of what I would now call alternative therapies
mm-hmm.
or truly holistic therapies, there are therapies that sometimes can be very helpful for people in bringing them more health, more life, longer life, better quality of life. So I would say that if somebody's really motivated and physically able enough to seek those therapies out, that it would be something I would encourage them to do.
Right. Now, do you get many clients that have been told that they have 6 months to live, 2 months to live, or whatever?
You know, I do. I work now, past 5 years, I worked at Cancer Treatment Centers of America, which is a hospital that specializes in advanced cancers and really offers an integrative model so that under one roof people receive conventional care, naturopathic medicine, nutrition, physical medicine, et cetera. I worked there for 5 years. I've since then relocated and now work in Scottsdale, Arizona at a private practice with my colleague, Dr. Dan Rubin, and mm-hmm. we both specialize in integrative oncology or naturopathic oncology.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people come to us who have been told there's nothing else available to them from the conventional side. Many of them do come with a date stamp on their forehead.
Right.
And we treat them. And mm-hmm. many times they do well. And I'm not going to say that, you know, we have amazing cure rates, although I think that I will say very confidently that most people that come to us experience better quality of their life.
Right.
Many experience
right.
more life.
Right. Well, I know that Hoxie, back in the 30s and 40s, had a very high success rate using herbs, but he also had a lot of trouble with the FDA and with the American Medical Association and went to court, as you probably know, and his treatment was proven to meet all of the standards and more, but he still had to move out of the country because he was still harassed.
Right.
So there's been some alternative things around for many years that have been had very high success rates.
Right. You know, one thing I would add is that unfortunately, however, the other flip side of that is that people with cancer are very emotionally vulnerable.
Right.
And
right.
That
definitely.
there is essentially no known cure
right.
for cancer, so that it's a great opportunity for less ethically minded individuals, and there are a lot of false promises
right.
and a lot of false cures out there, and it's very difficult, I think, for people with cancer sometimes to navigate their way through a lot of those that really it's a you know, field of landmines of so-called alternative cures as well as really solid good
right.
options. And you know, so that was also part of the motivation mm-hmm. of putting this book out there, was really just to give people some guidance about how to evaluate what they hear
right.
before they kind of throw everything into one type of therapy or towards an individual that has made some promises that are unlikely to come about.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very important, and I'm glad you brought that up, Lise.
Right, and I think your point is well taken, and I think that it's very frustrating for me as well when I'm working with patients who are seeing conventional oncologists and come to me because they want guidance about natural therapies, and their conventional oncologist refuses to have anything to do with me or my recommendations.
Right.
Really triangulates the patient. I think that that's very unfortunate. And I think that part of my motivation, certainly in writing this book and in continuing to try to bring this message forward, is to really remind people that there are standards out there. There are standards for practitioners. You know, I'm a licensed naturopathic physician. I have
mm-hmm.
lots of schools and tests and so forth. There are standards for therapies, and both natural and conventional. So there are, you know, we have what we need in place to be able to all get along
mm-hmm. right.
and work together and really kind of make this less confusing for the person with cancer, because the person with cancer has enough to deal with.
Right.
And, you know, it's just really unfortunate that they're often in a situation where they're hearing opposing messages and having to make an all-or-nothing choice one way or another.
Right, right. I think nurse practitioners went through a lot of this when they first appeared on the horizon because they were not necessarily accepted by physicians, and it took a long time and a lot of legislation and a lot of working together before there was acceptance. And I think a lot of this is also happening with the whole alternative movement.
Right.
And there are people that are in alternative health, as you say, or holistic health, that are not qualified. So it makes it very difficult for the client.
Yes, and I think another aspect of that is that people who have cancer don't have a static disease. They have a disease that by its very nature changes over time,
mm-hmm.
so that it's also important that people recognize that what may have been helpful for them at some point 6 months ago may not be helpful any longer, because
right.
the cancer itself is changing, and that means another reason why it's very important, I feel like, that people, you know, have some guidance with some qualified practitioners that they can trust to recognize that, and so that their therapies can adapt as their health and disease changes over time.
I think sometimes, too, that trying to be helpful and with their medical background, some physicians rush patients into a quick decision. And I know it's done out of caring and really believing that there is not time to make rational decision. But again, I remember when I went through this, I went initially because I had a dream that told me to go for a chest x-ray. And when I did, they picked up a spot that had not been there 6 months before. So then they wanted me to have biopsies, which I agreed to do. Well, the next thing, the surgeon is there, and they're talking about surgery and telling me that it had to be done right off. And I said, no, I have to go home. I have to think about it. I have to pray about it. I have to make a rational decision. The decision is mine. Your responsibility is to tell me the pros and cons of surgery, but the decision is mine. And I think that sometimes patients are put in the same position and do not think that they can step back and think about it and make a rational decision. Do you find that people feel like they're really pressured into making a quick decision?
Yes, and I think there's lots of reasons why that's happening, not the least of which is that our healthcare system has set things up that puts a lot of pressures on both the providers and the patients. And I think everybody, including the providers, get a little scared when cancer's present and they want to do things quickly. And I think your response is very appropriate. There are some cancers that, in fact, decisions need to be made very, very quickly. But most cancers will afford somebody time to go home and think about it to some extent so that they feel comfortable making the next step. And, that patient empowerment that you're describing is a very core theme in this book, Definitive Guide to Cancer, because both Carolyn and Gazella, my co-author, and I felt from the very beginning that we wanted to make sure that as we were writing, we were holding in our minds, you know, everything we were doing was the good of the patient. And if doctors approach all of their information and giving their information out with that same thought, this is what's for the good of the patient, then naturally you would come to a place of giving your information and letting the patient make a decision so they know what's in fact good for them. You know, I think that's very important because nothing about cancer is easy. The disease is not easy. The treatments are not easy. So the person who's going through those needs, I feel, to at least feel like they've brought themselves there. They haven't been dragged there.
Now, at least when I had cancer, I was on a very strict diet, which was 75% raw fruit and vegetables, a little bit of cooked vegetables, no protein, no dairy. I could have grains, I could have nuts, but not peanuts. Is the diet still as strict as mine was?
You know, that's a good question. Diet is clearly a critical factor in cancer, especially in preventing cancer. You know, a diet that's high in vegetables, and by high, we're talking about 6 to 10 servings of vegetables a day, is correlated with a decreased risk of almost all cancers. So there's, you know, clear evidence to suggest that diet has a role in prevention. Once somebody has cancer, it depends a lot, in my opinion, on the kind of cancer that they have, the stage of their cancer, and whether or not they're receiving conventional therapies to determine what kind of diet would be most helpful. Because if, for example, somebody with lung cancer that was more advanced and was receiving chemotherapy, the last thing I would want to do is take away their protein because that would contribute to their demise. Their need for protein skyrockets. So that person would not do well on the diet that you did, most likely. However, in another situation, lung cancer, for example, we know that vegetables, particularly in the nutrients that vegetables contain, have a very strong anti-lung cancer effect. So that there is a pretty good rationale to really emphasize vegetables. And potentially, although it hasn't been studied, I could imagine a rationale for why somebody with a relatively early stage lung cancer might really benefit from doing a very strict vegetarian raw foods type of diet. But that's the kind of thing that I think needs to be really looked at on an individual basis.
I took a lot of supplements, but I had no herbs. But I read more and more about the value of herbs, and even Hoxie and Casey and some of the people that were doing things with cancer back in the 30s and 40s used herbs, and I know people now that are having a lot of success using herbs. Is that something that you also use in your practice?
I do use herbs and supplements, and I do them a little differently than that. Typically, I use single herbs. Most of the people that I see, you know, have an active cancer, and they're really in a place where I feel that I need to use very high doses of certain supplements and certain herbal therapies. So I tend to use single herbs to get the doses that I'm looking for. And fortunately, there's not enough research into herbs and nutrients. There has been more, and we're beginning to understand that certain herbs are more indicated for certain cancer types than others, so that we can really make a therapy program that's designed very specifically for a cancer type. And then furthermore, my colleague in my practice, Dr. Rubin, and I, we often will do some laboratory testing, both using the person's blood sample and then sometimes actually using circulating tumor cells to really look at what we call the molecular expression of the cancer. And what that means is we're looking at various molecules that person's cancer is expressing, and those become targets for us because we know that there are certain natural therapies that will use those targets to help that cancer cell destroy itself. So what I guess what I'm trying to suggest is that I'm glad to say that natural therapies are becoming more and more sophisticated. And there's more opportunity to be very precise in how we address these cancer types.
Right. Now, do you get into any of the mental, spiritual, holistic health aspects such as affirmations, visualization, prayer, meditation?
Yes. You know, I think one of the reasons that I enjoy working with people who have cancer so much is that I've seen over and over again cancer more often than any other illness, in my experience, is a whole healing illness. And what I mean by that is that there's something about being given a diagnosis of cancer that causes most people to confront their own mortality. And with that confrontation comes a reevaluation of what is important in life, and oftentimes a recognition that their whole health, their spiritual well-being, their emotional well-being is perhaps not as robustly healthy as they need it to be. And so I find that the diagnosis of cancer and the experience of healing through cancer really is a wonderful opportunity for people to grow spiritually, to grow emotionally, to really heal on those levels, and to be, as a practitioner, to be witness to that is, you know, very gratifying.
Right.
And quite inspiring, actually.
I think the hope is very important, and to me, hope is really faith. And I think that our society works so much against people having faith and hope because there's so much fear-mongering out there, like there's not going to be enough flu vaccine, there's going to be a terrorist attack. You can go on and on and on. And I guess these are all efforts to force people to develop their faith and to develop hope, but it's difficult when you live in an environment that does not seem to nurture hope. Instead, it tends to nurture fear and negative things. So I'm glad that hope is an important aspect of your message in the book. Lise, would you like to tell the listeners about your book again and any other products you have available and how they can locate these?
Certainly. The book is called Definitive Guide to Cancer, An Integrative Approach to Prevention, Treatment, and Healing. It's the second edition, and it's written by myself, Lee Sauschuler, and Carolyn Gazella. It's available at bookstores nationwide, and if it's not on the shelf, the bookstore will order it. It's also available through Amazon, and people can learn more about me through my website, which is drlise.net. That's drlise.net. And I currently see patients in my practice in Scottsdale, Arizona, which is called Naturopathic Specialists. And people can kind of find their way there through my website as well. you know, in general, I would say I don't have any other products for sale or anything else that I promote, but I would just add one word, which is that what I am is a naturopathic physician. I understand that, that I may be the first one on this show, and if people are interested in that, there is a association called the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians, and they have a directory on that website so people could find a qualified naturopathic doctor. And that website is www.naturopathic.org. So hopefully that will give people a place to start.
And I want to congratulate you, Lise, as the president of the American Naturopathic Association.
Yes, thank
you. That's a big honor.
It is indeed, and that's a good word for it. It's an honor for me.
But I bet it's going to be a lot of work, too.
That, too.
Well, I appreciate your taking the time, Lise, to be with us today, and it's been a great discussion, and I look forward to having you back again when we talk about different disease processes and talking more about cancer interventions.
Okay, well, it's been my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lise.